If your Bible, would you please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we read together the first 12 verses. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions; he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When the soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall belong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be an accounted righteousness. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Let us pray with our Bibles open on our knees. Father in heaven, now as we turn to your word, Father, tonight we would ask that you would speak to us. Father, we would pray that you would show us more of the humiliation that our Lord Jesus Christ experienced as he lived and ministered on this earth. Lord, may we see the one who was despised and rejected by man. May we see the one who brought chastisement, who brought peace to us through his once for all time sacrifice for sin. Father, point us to Christ tonight. May we see afresh tonight of the great cost that was paid on Calvary's tree for our sin. Father, stir our hearts tonight to be thankful for the one who bore our pain. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're considering question 27 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 27 asks, wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? Its answer is, Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. Tonight, have you ever said to yourself, I wish the ground would open up and swallow me up this very moment? Usually when we say a statement like this is when we have somehow humiliated ourselves, or someone else has made a fool out of us in front of a number of people. Being humiliated is not a good experience. In a world today, there sadly is many people who end their life as they cannot cope with the humiliation that they have experienced. Something has went wrong in their life, and sadly they feel there is no other way out. No one likes to be a laughingstock. And I believe tonight there is no one here who would volunteer to be humiliated. Unlike us, the Lord Jesus Christ's humiliation was entirely voluntary. Philippians chapter 2 verses 6 to 8 tells us this. It says, though he, that is Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The scriptures are clear that Christ's humiliation lasted from his bodily conception in Mary until the moment of his resurrection. The reason why Christ was humiliated was that the triune God's undeserved love to redeem the elect. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for us. Christ came to be the sacrificial lamb to deal with the wrath of God. How did Christ humble himself in his conception and birth? Up to the moment that Jesus was placed in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was with his Father in glory. Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tells us that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. At the moment Jesus was placed in Mary's womb, he left the glorious presence of his Father. John tells us that he took on human flesh and dwelt among us. He who was sinless entered our sinful world. He who was sinless was born of the Virgin Mary, who was a sinner of Adam's race. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the one who is King of Kings, the one who was from the line of David, the one who is the promised Messiah, did not receive the birth entitled to a king. The world's media was not waiting for his arrival. There was no gun salute over the Thames. There was no royal palace to live in. Instead, he was born to a poor woman. He was known as the carpenter's son. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger that animals would have eaten out of. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 2 says, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Paul
And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 states, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." How did Christ humble himself in his life? The Catechism explained to us that Christ humbled himself in his life by being made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, and experiencing the wrath of God. In the United Kingdom, Her Majesty the Queen is the lawmaker, normally once a year. I think maybe this is the first time actually in her year, this year, that she has not went to the Palace of Westminster to instruct her government in the laws that are to be made in the next session of Parliament. After Parliament makes a law, it passes a law, it goes off in the red box to get her stamp of approval, to get the royal assent. And as subjects of Queen Elizabeth, we are expected to be obedient to the laws that are made in her name. The question to consider is Queen Elizabeth a subject to her own laws? Well, the law of the land demands that each and every one of us, if we want to drive on Her Majesty's roads, we must have a driving license to drive in the roads of the United Kingdom. However, the Queen does not have to fulfil this law's requirement. However, the lawmaker of heaven and earth, the God-man, the one who is very God of very God, was born under the law and was obedient to the laws that he had set into place. In Matthew 5 verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus is telling us that he intends to live out the law of God in perfect obedience. Jesus came to do what Adam failed to do. Jesus came and fulfilled all the requirements of the covenant of works. Jesus was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Christ, in his state of humiliation, also experienced the miseries of this life. He experienced hunger, thirst, tiredness, and grief. He experienced poverty. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 58, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Just like you and I, Jesus faced the assaults and temptations of Satan. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 11, Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food, and Satan comes to tempt him. "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus replied, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Unlike you and I, Jesus stood firm against the temptations of Satan. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." The greatest misery that Jesus had to face was the wrath of God. Jesus Christ suffered the most extreme consequences of his Father's holy and righteous displeasure against sin. Isaiah 53 verse 6 states, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus underwent the wrath of God to be the guarantor for his people's sins, which was imputed onto him. Scripture shows us how Jesus underwent the wrath of God. Do you remember the agony that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38 tells us that Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Luke chapter 22 and verse 44 states, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Scripture tells us that when Jesus was on the cross, he experienced the wrath of God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" How did Christ humble himself in his death? Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 8 that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Why does the Catechism tell us that it was a cursed death? Christ's death was a cursed death because of Adam failing to fulfill the conditions of the covenant of works. Because of this, sin entered the human race. We were cursed, and our curse needed to be broken if we as the elect were ever going to be able to be reconciled to God. Galatians 3 and verse 13 tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on the tree." Tonight, later on in our service, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember how Christ's body was broken and how his blood was shed to break the curse of sin. What does the Bible teach us about the pain and suffering Jesus faced in his humiliating death? Isaiah 53 verse 5 states, and just before I say that, Isaiah 53 foretells of the humiliation that Jesus as the suffering servant would face in his death. Let's look at verse 5 of Isaiah 53. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed." Verse 7 of Isaiah 53. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." The gospel accounts of Jesus' crucifixion tell us how the disciples deserted him when the Roman soldiers came to collect him from the garden. Jesus faced a set up corrupt trial. Pilate, under the orders of the people, set free Barabbas, a convicted criminal, while handing Jesus over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Jesus was beaten with a whip, which would have had bone onto the rip, which is it would have slashed his flesh, would have ripped his flesh right open to the bone. He was spat on. He was pulled by his beard. A twisted crown of thorns was placed and pushed down on his skull. He was made to carry his own cross until this was no longer physically possible. When he reached Golgotha, the place of the skull, he was made to lie down on the cross, and his hands and his feet were nailed to that cross. After that was completed, that cross was lifted up with Jesus on it. Can you imagine the pain Jesus felt as the foundation of that cross thumped the ground? Can you imagine the pain Jesus felt as he struggled to grasp every single breath, as his lungs would have pushed his body up and his flesh would have ripped a little bit more? People walked by and spat at him. People mocked him. If you are the King of the Jews, why don't you save yourself? The death Jesus faced was a death deserved of the most ruthless criminal in his day. It was the most humiliating death possible, carried out in public for all to see. But Jesus Christ's death did not end his humiliation. His humiliation continued in his death. The Catechism says he's been buried and continuing under the power of death for a time. What does this mean? Jesus remained in his humiliation until the moment of his resurrection, until the moment he burst forth from the grave. After Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea asked for Jesus' body so he could lay it to rest in a new tomb that never had been used before. Mark chapter 15, verse 43 tells us, it says, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Mark 15 and verse 46 states, and Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. The Bible teaches us that Jesus lay in the tomb until he rose from the dead on the third day. And this is when Jesus entered his estate of exaltation, which Ben, God willing, will take us through next Sunday evening. Tonight, what impact does Jesus' humiliation make on your and my life? For those of us here tonight who claim to be followers of Christ, I believe we should be asking ourselves the question, do we share in Jesus' humiliation? You know, I believe there's a real cost to be a follower of Jesus Christ in 2019. Listen to the words of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy. Always been prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. The reality is tonight we live in a godless society. We live in a day where people have no time for God and his word. We're living in days where it is difficult to live out our Christian faith in school, in the work placement, and in our surrounding community. If you tell someone you're a Christian, they think you're a weirdo. When people know you're a Christian, you're treated as if you are the party pooper. Schools and universities are doing their very best, even in Ulster tonight, to remove Christian influences. You don't want to believe me? Our own Presbyterian College in Belfast is being discriminated by the Queen's University of Belfast for holding on to the biblical truths of Scripture. You want to know what Queen's is saying tonight? You want to know what some of your tax money is going to pay for tonight? For Queens to be able to say, if you're not willing to conform to what we want, you will not be teaching our students. Here in Britain tonight, if you share your Christian faith in your workplace, there is a real chance that you could be disciplined or sacked. The Christian Institute has dealt with situations where a doctor or nurse has been sacked for sharing their faith with a dying patient. If you refuse to make a cake with a logo on it that goes against your beliefs, you could find yourself in the highest court in the land. Reality. Tonight, if it was found out that you were a Christian in countries like North Korea, Yemen, or Pakistan, you would be arrested. You may even lose your life. Today, even tonight, as we have sat here, there will have been Christians across the globe tonight will have been murdered for their faith. And why? Simply because they are a follower of Jesus Christ. But the Bible is clear that our suffering for the gospel's sake will only last for a short time. Greater is still in front of us. C.T. Studd famously said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." You know, yesterday I was back in my earthly kingdom. I was back in the Mourns. I was in a home with a man who broke down with me. He said, "You know, Campbell, I think my time on earth is coming to an end." I quoted him this verse, James 1 and verse 12. It says, the man was really suffering, was struggling just to continue on with life. For those who suffer for the gospel, we're facing trials. This is what James says in chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." Tonight, do you share in Christ's humiliation? Tonight, the reason maybe why you do not share in Christ's humiliation is because you are not his. Maybe you're here tonight and you are afraid of the cost that has to be made to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are afraid to suffer. Well, can I tell you something tonight? It is one thing to suffer for a short time. And no matter how long we get on this earth, boy, it's short compared to all of eternity. But tonight, can you imagine that when you close your eyes for the last time on this earth and enter into eternity, can you imagine what it's going to be like to suffer in the lake of fire for all of eternity? It's through Christ's humiliating sacrifice on the cross for our sin that any of us can be reconciled to God and to be able to call him our Heavenly Father. For us to be redeemed tonight, it took Christ to leave the realms of glory and take on human flesh and dwelt among us. It was through Christ's perfect life, fulfilling the law and standing firm against the temptations of Satan, that our sins are forgiven. Christ has done for the elect what we could never do for ourselves. Tonight, are you in Christ? Tonight, can you say that his humiliation has saved a wretch like me? If you have not received Christ as yet, praise God tonight that we are living in a day of grace. Tonight, if Christ is calling you to himself, do not harden your heart. Instead, I plead with you to receive him. Amen.